he began these wild fantasies, you know, that were very, very X-rated, you know. And I didn't know what to do, you know. And on the way home, he was jumping at all the street lights claiming they were the moon and to get them. So I was very amusing to me, you know, and I had the feeling of something very odd, something that you go and see in the zoo, you know. And after this first meeting, then Eric kind of entered our circle.
Mm-hmm.
And we at that time, there were no rock and roll bands around, but the young people entertained themselves, and usually every week, and there was another party at some friend's house, you know, either at my house or in somebody else's house. They arranged during the winter time these parties. And after midnight, when we were all tired from dancing and sat down, Eric would sit down on the piano and play just wonderfully, you know. And we were sitting there, you know, listening, and he would sweat profusely at these occasions because it was very hot, and we would say, take your jacket off, take your jacket off, and he wouldn't take it off. And I later discovered that his shirts, you know, were of two colors in the back because they were all, you know, repaired, you know, I don't know how many times, and part of it was blue and the rest was green or something. And he was ashamed of that, but it just gives you the idea of what poverty meant at that time, you know? Because I don't think any poor boy here would wear such a shirt, you know? Or even considering keeping it, you know? At this time, as far as we knew Eric, he was always in love with some girl, you know? And violently so. At one time he wrote the trio who wrote for my friend Litzy, who was a very, very beautiful girl, and of course wanted nothing to do with him, because the stage in which he was in at that time was really not anything any girl would, you know, want to have anything to do. So his love affairs were usually very unhappy ones. He was very much, you know, I remember, you know, really unforgettable times when we went hiking through the woods, you know, young people, and then came to some little inn with some piano that was completely out of tune. You would sit there and play for hours, you know, and it was this kind of Schubert atmosphere, you know, and he could make this old piano sound like really something beautiful. And it was really very beautiful. But apart from this, apart from his music, he was a very wild, untamed fellow at that time, you know? And something we were all from better families and very carefully brought up, you know? And we kind of shied away from this. Eric had then gone through analysis, as I told you, which I think, if anything, left him crazier than ever. And it was shortly after that, and that was already, I think, 24 years old, when he had naturally matured, and so had I, you know? And then the thing began between us, between us both, you know, knew then what we were doing.
Yes. Yeah. We begin to get a picture of a very unique personality and a strongly romantic individual. And perhaps we can conclude with just these two marvelous anecdotes, which I think illustrate not only his uniqueness, but also the friendship and the affection that many people had for him. Perhaps you could tell us the remark that Alma Mahler made, who apparently was a friend of his and an admirer of his.
Yeah, but Alma we met here in... that is, we met her first in Paris, but in Vienna we did not know.
I see.
No, that was in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. but I can tell you the story
if
you want
fine.
To fit it in mm-hmm. here. Well, we met Alma, that was quite interesting, both characteristic of Alma, very characteristic of Alma. We were in Paris.